I'm so thankful that the Bible says where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you're with us. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us your spirit. And so we're here ready to magnify the Lord now, not just in word and singing, but now through the word of God. I'm so excited to be with you today. And want to thank those who are watching through our live stream right now, or maybe those who will watch later on our Facebook or YouTube. Thank you for watching. And if you will, take a moment right now to, if you're watching now, hit the subscribe button and click the little bell. That way you can get these messages as they come out. Because, you know, maybe you're not available and you want to hear the word later on. I pray that it'll minister to you so that you'll know when we upload a new video and when we go live, you'll get that information. So do that. Also, if you are if you're not big into looking at YouTube or you're not even on social media, but you do listen to podcasts, I do want you to know that Manifest Church also has a podcast show as well, where we upload our Sunday sermons in there. And you just want to look for Manifest Church SE for South Carolina, and you should be able to find it. You'll see our logo there. You can't miss it. And then you could just hit the follow button there, and in alerts, there should be like a little notification, a bell or something, so that when we upload, you'll be able to hear the messages there as well. And again, you can also get that information on any podcast platforms of your liking. You can choose whichever one best fits you. Anyway, with all that said, I just want to welcome you. Thank you for tuning in and listening. And today we're going to be, and we're going to go back to, we continue in the book of Daniel. We're in chapter 2. And we were looking at verses 1 through 24 last week, and we saw what was taking place last week. A decree went out from the king Nebuchadnezzar to kill all the wise men of Babylon because they could not tell him his dream and its interpretation. You remember, he was that whole time there, he had had a dream, and this dream was so terrifying to him, or so mysterious to him, that he wanted to know what this dream was about. And as we talked about last week, where he called, as a pagan, he knew to talk to the creation rather than the creator. He went to the creation, meaning his wise men of Babylon, astrologers, the sorcerers. He called the Chaldeans. He called everybody that he knew that could help him, that were wise and into the arts of witchcraft and things, to ever try to tell him what he saw. And yet we know that is, as Christians, we know we don't need to look to creation for answers. We look to the creator of heaven and earth. And that's where he failed. And that's why they said, we can't do what you're asking, king. There's no way that we could do that. No king on earth has ever asked for someone to tell them the dream they had and then interpret it. So it was a very unusual situation. And I mean, this king was he was losing sleep. He wasn't sleeping because of what he dreamed and the dreams he was having about this image. And anyway, so obviously we know Daniel and his friends, Hananiah. Some of you know Shadrach. They changed Hananiah's name to Shadrach. Mishael, they changed his name to Meshach. Azariah, they changed his name to Abednego. These were the Hebrew young men, Daniel and his friends, and I like to say his boys, all right? They were taken from, they were exiled from Jerusalem. They were taken from their homeland, and now they were trying to basically indoctrinate them into the Babylonian culture, and therefore they changed their names. And as I mentioned to you a couple weeks ago, that their names had significant. In chapter 1, I reminded you Daniel's name was a name that means God is my judge, and then they gave him a different name, and basically the names that they gave them were names of worshiping their gods to some degree. And it's interesting. And so anyway, that's kind of a cool thing to understand and know, that their plan was to indoctrinate them. But these young men, Daniel and his boys, said, no, we're not having it. And you remember, they chose not to defile themselves from eating from the king's table. And even though it was a natural thing that they resist is a physical thing. It had spiritual implications. That's the word I was looking for. Even though it was a physical thing that they rejected, we're not going to put in our bodies this food that is defiled. Why? Because obviously the food that the pagans ate was not kosher to Jewish people. And this was the final step in the total indoctrination or to brainwash them into and simulating them into the Babylonian culture. But these young men decided, we're not going to do that. We're going to hold fast to our God and we're going to trust him even in a land that is not our own. And so what a powerful thing for us to know. We don't have to bow down. We don't have to worship the gods of this world. We can worship the only true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can surrender our hearts to him and walk with him. Isn't that awesome that we could be with him? So again, we're back here and they're having this moment right now. They were also the men of Babylon and came. And so these were Daniel and his boys were part of the wise men. So the captain of the guard was coming to let Daniel know, hey, we've got to kill you guys. And you know, obviously, they probably had a relationship over the time that they were there. But he had to follow the king's command or it would be his head. So Daniel basically asked him to tell him why the decree went out. And so once he found out, he went to the king and requested some time so that he could tell the king the dream and its interpretation. We saw that in verses 13 and 16 of chapter 2. This is what we were looking at this week and then this past week. And then so the king grants Daniel the request, right? Daniel immediately tells his boys to join him in seeking God for mercy concerning this mysterious dream that this king had. So Daniel, understanding differently than the pagan king who was looking to men or to created things to find the answers, looking to the stars for the answers. Well, the Bible tells us we don't have to look to the stars for answers. We can look to the one who made the stars. We can come to him and ask of him. We can inquire of him. And Daniel knew that because he feared God, because he was a true worshiper. Daniel told his friends, hey, let's come together. We can see that in verses 17 through 16. Let's come together. Let's ask God for mercy so we can understand the mystery of this dream. And again, unlike this world, who counsel the created things, Daniel and his boys inquired of the creator of heaven and earth for the answer. God gave the dream and its interpretation to Daniel. I want to just read this for a moment. Look what he said here. He says then, verse 19 of chapter 2, it says, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong the wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Man, what an awesome moment. And that leads me to today's title. Last week it was different, but this week I want you to see as we're continuing here, I want you to know the message today is the God who reveals mysteries. We serve a God who reveals mysteries. Isn't that awesome? We serve a God who reveals what no man can know. We serve an awesome and mighty God. And we can come together and we can go whenever we're dealing with things in our lives, we know we can go to him. I don't know what you're going through in your life. I don't know what is keeping you up at night. I don't know what is harassing your mind and your thoughts. But I want you to know that you don't have to seek out men. You can seek the creator of heaven and earth. You can come to him with your questions. You can come to him and in prayer, come and humble yourself before the Lord and ask him. And I know that the God I serve will answer. Now, sometimes he may not answer like we want him to answer, but he nonetheless will answer what your request. He will answer because he's good. And he wants his children to know what we can't know in and of ourselves. We can go to him. He wants us to come to him. God looks forward to meeting with his children every day we can have an appointment with him. Every day as we're going, he's with us. You know, we don't have to be like, well, God somewhere. No, the Bible says those who are born again have been filled with his Spirit. God is always with us. He is near you. He's not far from you. Praise God for his Holy Spirit who dwells in his people. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that you're the God who reveals mysteries. Lord, when we don't know where to go, when we don't know what's next, there's so many things going on in our world today, so many things that rumors of wars, pestilence and viruses and all kinds of things, things that men are creating, kingdoms that men are working to establish. Lord, we don't understand fully all these things, but we know the one who does. And we have hope in these troubled times. We have hope because Jesus, you have given us a living hope because of the resurrection. We don't have to fear, Lord. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And those who belong to him don't fear what's to come because we know the one who is in control. We know the one who is sovereign over all that is taking place. And we can trust in him. And this morning, Lord, I come to you and ask you, Lord, as Daniel and his friends did, I ask you, Lord, to speak through me. I ask you, Lord, to use me. Lord, I'm only here because of your grace, and I ask you, Lord, to strengthen me. Help me, Lord, to minister your word in a way that is honoring to you. Lord, in a way that when I speak, Lord, that your word will not fall on deaf ears, but that it will go forth and produce 30, 60, 100 times what it was meant to do, Lord. Thank you that your word does not return to you void, Lord. Thank you for all who are here listening and those who will listen and watch later, Father. Have your way in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Again, the title of today's message is The God Who Reveals Mysteries. And so the first thing I want us to look at here, let's go and start reading here. Let's start reading our main text. If you have your Bibles, you want to be looking at Daniel chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at verses 25 through 45. These are the verses for today. I want to start off in a couple of them, and then we're going to continue as we go along. So turn with me to verse 25, and we're going to start there. It says, Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus to him, I found among the exiles from Judah a man who will make known to the king the interpretation. The king declared to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, Are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered the king and said, No wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the vision of your head as you lay in bed are these. To you, O king, as you lay in bed, came thoughts of what would be after this. And he who reveals mysteries made known to you what is to be. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have more than all the living, but in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. And I want us to look at real quickly these few verses real quick. And I want you to, one of the points I want us to understand here is no man can reveal mysteries, but God can. Man isn't capable of revealing mysteries. Only God can reveal what is mysterious. Only God knows what men think. Only God knows what's in the heart of a man. See, the Bible is very clear that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can understand it? And as Isaiah was writing that, or excuse me, Jeremiah was writing that, he said, not only is that the case, man can't understand it, but only God knows the heart. Only God knows our hearts. And I'm going to tell you right now, that is a comforting thing to know, that God knows our hearts. that even when you don't understand, even when your heart's deceiving you, when your heart's causing you to be like, I don't know, God knows the very thoughts of our heart. His word is clear, and it helps us to stay on track with him. It helps us to be in step with the Holy Spirit, and his spirit is speaking to our hearts as we surrender daily to him. God is speaking to our hearts, but only God can reveal what is hidden. He's the one that can reveal, as David said in his praise to him, he is the one who reveals the deep and hidden things. Only God can do this, because there is no darkness in God. There is no shadow of turning. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Isn't that awesome? So God gives Daniel the dream and his interpretation, and the captain brings it before the king. And what does the king ask him? He says, hey, king, the king says, are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation? Are you able to do this, Daniel? And Daniel's response is one that we should all learn from. He said, no. Wait a minute, isn't Daniel the one giving him the interpretation and telling him the dream? But Daniel said no. And Daniel rightly told the king no, because he was a humble man and he understood that there is no man on God's green earth that can show the king the mystery that he saw. See, Daniel understood. Daniel does what all true worshipers do. They point to the Lord, because all the glory and the honor belong to him. This is something that, is profound about this man. I mean, you look at Daniel and you see him, he's exiled, he's away from all that he knows, and he's standing before a king that just by his one word, he's dead. And Daniel, knowing, because he also said, if you could tell me, I'm going to give you riches, I'm going to make sure you're well taken care of in my kingdom. And Daniel, seeing that, hey, man, there's reward in this for us. And Daniel said, no, it's not from me. It's not from me. But he pointed to the one. He said, the God of heaven. But he said in verse 28, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And he has made known to the king, to King Nebuchadnezzar, what will be in the latter days. See, he understood. He was a true worshiper. He was one that wasn't fake and wanting the glory to himself. You know, unfortunately, in our time that we live in, there are many people who want the glory for themselves. And you know what? God doesn't share his glory with anyone. And that's a very sobering thing. It's not to be mean to someone, but you need to understand that God doesn't play when it comes to his glory. The glory belongs to him. All the honor belongs to him. And when we are able to do something in his name, we need to remember real quickly who is responsible for it all. And that's him. And it'll always be him. For it's to him and for him and through him, all things are done. I love the Psalm 115:1. It reminds me of what we're to be saying. True worshipers do this. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name goes all the glory for your unfailing love and faithfulness. Amen. It's to him. It's to him the glory, to him the honor, to him the praise. And he wanted the king to know the God who reveals mysteries, the God of heaven and earth, the God who created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. He wanted the king to know, here is a man evangelizing a king who could have his head right in that moment. He was not ashamed of the God of his fathers. He was not ashamed of his God. He began to declare. And I want to tell you today, we have nothing to be ashamed of. The Bible is clear that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus says, I am the door. Hallelujah. I am the gate. You can't go in any other way. And we don't have to be ashamed of that. He's awesome. And we can declare it to the Nebuchadnezzars of our day. We can declare it to those people that we meet daily, that your salvation can only come through Jesus Christ. There is no name given to men by which on earth, given to men by which they can be saved. It's only through Jesus Christ. See, other men would have taken the credit for knowing the dream and its interpretation, but Daniel didn't. Other men would have been like, hey, yeah, man, that was me, king, you know. I know I'm pretty wise. I'm pretty, you know, I got it like that. And And the goal there is so he can be buddy-buddy with the king, and the king would then give him the riches and the rewards and the fame. And, you know, hey, I'm cool. I'm down with the king, you know. And many do that today. Many sell out. Many give in to the spirit of this age in order to be liked, in order to be in with the crowd. And yet Daniel wasn't willing to do that. Daniel said, no, it's not about me. It's about him. To him be the glory. I'm going to show you who is the God that reveals the mysteries that you don't know. And our response should be like Daniel's. When we stand before this generation declaring the mysteries of God, the mysteries of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we ought to stand like Daniel in all humility and remind people it's about Jesus and what he did for you and for me. He went on that cross. You know, the Bible is clear that God, the God of heaven, the one that Daniel was talking about, this God, he demonstrated his love in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus died for you and me. We were the ungodly people. Jesus died for us. And there are more ungodly people that he died for and that he wants us to get this message to, that he wants them to, this mystery that they're, why are they here? What is the purpose of their life? This mystery that is tearing them apart in their minds and their life, and they're living a rat race of this world, and they get up and do the same thing over and over again. But there's one who came to save and to deliver people out of darkness and bring them into light and give them a real abundant life, a life that is full of Christ. You see, that should be our response. Daniel's humility is seen here. Because he said to him, he said, this mystery was not revealed to me because I had more wisdom than any living person. Didn't he say that? He says, hey, listen, in verse 30, but as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have more than any all the living, but in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. Daniel, rightly, and we ought to have that same response. We ought to see that he basically said, look, it's not about me. It was because God wanted you to know. It's not about you and it's not about me. The kingdom of God is about Jesus Christ and his glory and what he did. And one day he's coming back again. It's not over yet. We're getting closer to the end. We're getting closer to the return of the king. Hallelujah. We're getting closer to the time. And what's powerful is that this king sees what's about to happen in latter days. And it's going to be awesome for us as we move forward here in this chapter. You know, I want you to know that something that we need to understand is that none of us, when we stand before the lost, declaring the mystery of the gospel, it is with this same attitude we come before them. The same attitude that Daniel had, the same humble heart that he had. This attitude, not because I'm better than you. I'm not better than anybody here. I'm not better than you watching. I'm not better than anybody in this room. I'm not better than the preacher down the road. I'm not better than anybody. I am what I am, and I'm standing here before you and declaring this good news to you and this message to you because of the grace of God. That's it. It is because of Jesus Christ I stand here. Because you know what? If it was because of me, I wouldn't be here. If it was because of something inherently about me, no, I'd be doing evil things like I was doing before he found me. And that is the testament to the grace of God, that God can save anyone. Anyone who humbles themselves and cries out to him, the Bible says, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, God is not down with the proud. God is not good with the proud. Look what he says in Isaiah 66, verse 2. All these things my hand has made. And so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. You know what? Sometimes that's not a picture of who we are, right? a picture of who we are. It's to be arrogant. It's to be, oh, look what I know and how much information I know. Some Christian, how much Bible I know and how much in theology I know, how much of everything I know. And yet, where is the humility? Where is the humbleness that not just Daniel displayed, but our Lord displayed? Humble doesn't mean that you're not confident in what you know and declaring it. That's not prideful about that. We're talking about having a humble heart, an attitude that doesn't try to exalt itself over other people, but understands that, you know what? God is the one to be glorified. God is the one to be seen. It's Jesus the one to be magnified in everything that I do. And you know what? We all have to work on that. We all have to say, you know what, Lord, it's about you. It's about your glory. Yeah. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to see this. And Daniel, you can show me that clock whenever you're ready so I know where I'm at. If you want to do that, because, you know, he keeps me on check here. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to see something about this, this attitude. And I see it in the Apostle Paul and what he wrote to the Corinthian church, being the apostle to the Gentiles. Look at how he speaks and look at his writing and what he's trying to communicate to the people of God. Go with me to verses 9 through 11. I want you to see this. He says here in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 through 11, this is what he says. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. And so, you can see the Apostle Paul, who, I mean, when you talk about a man who was one of the greatest theologians that the world has ever seen, do you know this man wrote most of the New Testament? Come from the Apostle Paul? And yet this is how he's talking. He's saying, I am the least. I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. I'm the least. Look at his attitude. Look at his humble heart here in his writing and say, look, I'm nobody. But he is glorified. He's awesome. And it's him who I'm to glorify. And so, I mean, what an awesome thing. I just pray that ministers to you and helps you understand that you and I need to have that attitude and that attitude in our hearts when we're dealing with in ministry, when we're living in our lives, when we're working with people, when we're talking to each other as fellow believers, we need to have an attitude of humility, because humility is a mark of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was humble. And Daniel was humble. And that shows he was following the only true God. Let's go to the next thing. God reveals to the king, to King Nebuchadnezzar, what will be in the latter days. Let's look at these verses. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 2, and we're going to continue there. Daniel chapter 2, I want us to go on through, we're going to be looking at verses 34 now through 45, the best that we can. So bear with us. Let's go. You saw, O king, and behold, a great image. This image, mighty and exceeding brightness, stood before you, and its appearance was frightening. The head of this image was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. As you looked, a stone was cut out by no human hand, and it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, and the bronze, and the silver, and the gold all together were broken in pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away. so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. Now we will tell the king its interpretation. You, O king, the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, and the might, and the glory, and into whose hands he has given what wherever they dwell, and the children of men, of man, the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, making you rule over them all. You are the head of gold. Another kingdom inferior to you shall arise after you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze which shall rule over all the earth. And there shall be a fourth kingdom strong as iron, because iron breaks to pieces and shatters all things. And like iron that crushes it, it shall break and crush all these. And as you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it shall be divided, a divided kingdom, but some of the firmness of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw iron mixed with the soft clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle. As you saw the iron mixed with soft clay, so they will mix with one another in marriage, but they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces and all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, so that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. A great God has made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Whew, man. That's awesome. What a dream and what an interpretation that God had given this king. What he was seeing. God reveals to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in latter days. He sees this king and he gives him what an awesome experience God gave this man. It shows us that God was trying to reach the king through his dreams. You see, this king was pagan. He was a pagan king. He was one who did not worship the true God. He was a worshiper of other gods. And actually, this king basically declares himself to be God at some point here, like basically wants people to worship him. I mean, he is definitely got a problem because he's just a mere man. And you'll see as you watch, as we continue in Daniel, you're going to see how God humbles Nebuchadnezzar in his pride and what he thinks, how great and mighty he is. God reduces him to an ox who eats the grass of the field. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, God will deal with our pride. God will bring us to nothing. I know, I'm telling you, I know. God will bring us to nothing in order, especially if we're his, it's not to destroy us, it's to bring us into conformity to the image of his son. God wants us to walk in humility because that's how he is. So what an experience. Daniel now tells the king the dream and its interpretation. We saw that the king sees his dream and the image of a great and terrifying man. One person writes this, and this is in End Times Truth website. I love what he puts here. He says, this symbolism was certainly fitting to the prophecy because what was literally to be a prediction of the course of human history was figuratively portrayed as a massive, idolatrous image of man-made greatness. What an awesome point there that the writer of End Times Truth puts there. It's pretty awesome because really, as he's giving him the future kingdoms and the history of the world and what will be happening. We look at this. I want you to see this. Daniel, if you want to go ahead and put up there the image, I want you to see this image, and I want you to see the kingdoms that was found in the interpretation of the dream. Well, the first kingdom, as obviously Daniel says to him, It's you, O King, because you're the head of gold. It's the head of gold. And this is the Babylonian Empire. This is the first major empire, and it was the Babylonian one. And what was powerful about this empire is that truly, I'm sorry, I'm not going to use big words, but I'm just going to let you know it like this. Basically, it was truly an empire that was run by one man, and that was King Nebuchadnezzar. He had no one else that shared power with him. He was the sole power of that. And actually, this is what the New World Order wants to create: a one world government, a one world system, and one world leader will rise from within it, which is the Antichrist. We're going to get into some of that as we move forward in Daniel's prophecy. But I want you to understand that that is what was going on. King Nebuchadnezzar was it. There was no one that he shared power with. He just called wise men. He had people like that to give him counsel. But he was the main. There was no law above him. He was the law. Whatever he said happened. There was no law like when you see why he says the next kingdom. Let's look at this one. The second kingdom was the Medo-Persia Empire. This is the chest and arms of silver. Okay? This is described there in verse 32. And you can also find this in chapter 7 of Daniel and chapter 8 of Daniel, Daniel 7, 5 and Daniel 8, 20. And also, let me back up a minute. You can also find Babylonian Empire in Daniel chapter 7, verse 4 as well. Daniel has a dream now, and some time now, and he has a dream, and he wants to know the interpretation, and he's actually seeing it in some different beasts and some different images that describe some of the same things that he got a given the interpretation with King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And again, it was speaking of the kingdoms that were to come. And so we see that that kingdom was going to be around. We also see in that kingdom, the Medo-Persian kingdom was around from 539 BC to 331 BC. Okay, this kingdom was different. This kingdom had some shared power. It had a law above the king. If you can think of, there were moments where I think in the book of Esther, we find that there was a law above the king. And when they were to do certain things, they had to obey that law. And you'll see it in Daniel 2 as we get closer. I believe it's to King Darius. We get to that point in the book of Daniel. You'll see that there were laws that were above the king, and the king had to follow those laws. And if he didn't, then they could remove him from power. Okay. So it was inferior to the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar was the sole law. There was no law above him. The only one above him was God, basically. There was no one greater than King Nebuchadnezzar. And unfortunately, as you see our world today, that is what they're trying to do. They want one person to rule, and that's not the case. That's not how it could be. You do that, we'll be in trouble. It'll be like King Nebuchadnezzar. But ultimately, that's where it's all going. In the end times. And you'll have to bear with me today. I'm fighting a little cold and my chest is a little tight. So if you hear me breathing a certain way, if you hear me kind of trying to tame it a little bit, it's because I want to be able to continue to minister and not lose it here. So let's go on. The third kingdom we see here is the Grecian Empire. The middle and the thighs of bronze. Okay, this is the middle of the image and the thighs of bronze. The Grecian Empire, remember Alexander the Great, he got this kingdom together and put it together, and that is that kingdom. You can find this in Daniel chapter 2, verses 39, and Daniel chapter 7, verse 7. Let's move on here. And that kingdom was around from 321 BC. to 150 BC. The fourth kingdom that we're looking at here is the Roman Empire. Legs of iron. Daniel 2, verse 33 and verse 40, Daniel 7:7, Daniel 7:19, Daniel 7:23. The Roman Empire was from 150 BC to the 5th century. So it was a very long reign that they had complete power over the known world. And so the Roman Empire was that fourth kingdom. And then that other part of this fourth kingdom, which is like, I would say fourth, you got the fourth A of that kingdom and the fourth B of that kingdom, the revived Roman Empire. And this is the one of the feet, partly of iron and partly of clay. You can find this in Daniel chapter 2, verses 41 through 43, Daniel 7, Daniel 7, 20 through 25. And this kingdom, I'm going to take some time next week. We're going to finish up now because I've been going for a while here. We're going to finish up this kingdom and the kingdom of God that's to come. We're going to finish this next week. We'll jump in there. But let me say this about this revived Roman Empire. You know, that is being constructed right before our eyes. It is happening right before our eyes. These are 10 kings, and I believe they will rule in 10 regions of the world. And they will have shared power, and eventually that those 10 kings are going to give their power over to one. And that is what we believe, the Antichrist. Something I wrote down here from my Bible college days, I had written down in my notes, it says this speaks of the weaker version of the Iron Kingdom, specifically the Roman Empire, made up of 10 kings out of which the Antichrist will arise. Again, so this is a time that I believe we are in. We are living in these times where you can see it in, let's wrap up here. You can see this in what is taking place in our world today, how we saw how COVID, when COVID took place and you saw how all the nations were doing things simultaneously, you saw that they were, they pushed certain things in the world, I think it's called the WHO, the World Health Organization. They began to control, and there's a treaty that I believe our president, currently Biden, has also upheld, where they get to tell us when there's an emergency how we're to do things, rather than our own. We're a sovereign nation. We decide how we're to sovereignly do things, and our states decide, and our counties decide how we're going to deal with an emergency situation. No, these powers from not even from our country will tell us how we're to do things. This is happening in the world. You can look these things up. They're on Google. They're telling you to your face what's happening. They want the Great Reset. They want a new world order. And it's going to move us. One of the things that they're working on, just in the background, just before we end, is they're working on a digital currency. We have some of this already in place, but this means they want to get rid of the dollar and everything to be digital. And guess what? When everything's digital, you don't have control anymore. The banks, the central banks do. They have control. And if you're, according to what we're seeing today, if you're not a good citizen, they can just delete, take your money away, or stop your accounts, stop you from being able to spend your money, block your access to your funds. Can you imagine? Now they can't do that to every, I mean, there's some things that they can do, but you have cash, you bring it out, you have it in your house, you can put it wherever you want. If you have cash, you can go buy stuff. But there's coming a day, real soon, I believe, there's coming a day where it will all be digital. And we're seeing this. So let's end now in prayer. And we'll come back to this next week. Father, we love you. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. What a God we serve. What an awesome and majestic God we serve. The God who reveals mysteries. Lord, we can have hope in troubled times because we know the one who knows everything. You know the end from the beginning. You know it all, Lord. And because of that, we can have confidence to continue to live for you and to continue to declare your truth. God, I pray for those who are watching and those who are listening that the Holy Spirit would have moved on their hearts today so they might turn to you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, Lord. We love you, and we ask these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We love you. We'll see you next time. God bless.